Father, here we thank you for another opportunity to come and study the word of truth tonight. We pray as we study together. We pray that by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us in the word of truth, right divided. Lord, and that as we study together, that we would be encouraged, Lord Jesus, to trust in your word and depend on you and what you have said in your word, knowing that your grace is sufficient. In other words, if we just rest in what you can do, Lord, rest in your power and your strength, and just believe it and walk in it, that we will be encouraged. And when tough times and troubles in life come our way, that we know that we can depend and lean on you, because your word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we trust that tonight, Lord Jesus, that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, we're going to get going and with this lesson tonight. Salvation. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved, come unto the knowledge of truth. If you are a sinner, just doing better will not save you. You must believe the gospel by which we are saved. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all, that Christ, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. We must believe, my brothers and sisters, in order to be saved. My brothers and sisters, the plan of salvation has been completed to pay for the penalty of sin. When Jesus Christ said it is finished, it is finished. It was finished. He had the wages. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And when he said, it is finished, Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us. So we ought to be thankful, my brothers and sisters, tonight. Now, we've been talking about the ministry of perseverance, persevering in the grace of God, resting in what God can do. And we've been dealing with Philippians, and we in Philippians, we're going to deal with Philippians 1, 17 through 18. But the other of love, this is what Paul said, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preaching, I therein do rejoice, yea, and we'll rejoice. My brothers and sisters, I want to say to you tonight, be encouraged. Paul's many trials did not deter him from living a Christian life. Neither did they restrict his preaching the gospel. To the contrary, suffering seemed to motivate him even to greater spiritual service. He said something remarkable about his adversities in 2 Corinthians 12:10. He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul is saying, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and in insults and in hardships and persecution and difficulties. For when I am weak, he says, I am strong. We shouldn't, however, think of Paul as an indestructible superman. There were times when the tremendous hardships he confronted were more than he could bear. After suffering one rather malicious incident of persecution, Paul admitted he and his companions despaired even of life. Look at what he says in 2 Corinthians 1:8. 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul says, for we were not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But Paul had faith in the living God. Where is your faith tonight? Is it in man? Is it in things? Is it in the temporary things of this world? Or is your faith in God, the true and living God, to see him pull through? Paul trusted in the living God to see him through his trials. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:10, who delivered us from so great a death and thus delivered us, in whom we trust that he would yet deliver us. On him, on him we have set our hope, wrote Paul, that he would continue to deliver us. But as Paul's life demonstrates, God often delivers us out of troubles we are already in, not necessarily from troubles before they begin. Yet, as we must, Paul was able to rise above his many afflictions. How did he do it? And how can we surmount our trials and troubles? Paul didn't overcome by his own strength or will. He never took personal credit for being able to bear his painful, heavy cross. He attributed his spiritual muscle to his true source, Jesus Christ. Who do you contribute your strength to when you go through your difficult times, sufferings of the present time, persecution? Who do you attribute your strength to, my brothers and sisters? Where is your true source? Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. He rejoiced not in his own will and courage, but in the power of Christ in him. And by the example, we know that we too have access to the same spiritual power and courage. Now, optimism, my brothers and sisters, beside encouraging humility in believers as a means of perseverance, Paul emphasized the value of optimism. That is a positive and hopeful outlook on life in this present evil world. It is not uncommon to hear people speak of optimism as a foolish endeavor, one that doesn't grapple with the real world but simply pretend that things are better than they are. But Paul's optimism wasn't like this. His optimism was realistic. He did not ignore the bad things in life. In fact, he felt threatened by them. He didn't ignore the sufferings of the present time and just what life could throw at him. Have you been that way? What about you, my brothers and sisters? At his heart, Paul's optimism was simply a conscious decision to focus his attention on those things that were truly good instead of on those things that were truly bad. It was born out of his faith in God's provision and blessings in the present world, and out of his hope for the redemption and rewards that God would give us in the future. For example, during his suffering in prison, while he was being, my brothers and sisters, being preached, why? This is what Paul says. During his suffering in prison, while he was being troubled by insincere preachers of the gospel, he chose to focus on the blessings that Christ was being preached, even though the preachers had evil motives. Listen to his account in Philippians chapter 1, verse 17, 18. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. Paul's emotional state was complex. On the one hand, he was suffering, but on the other hand, he made a conscious decision to focus on the good things rather than on the bad things. Sometimes we take life and things that come at us. Sometimes we take the persecutions. We take the sufferings of this present time. We take our present day circumstances and we allow them to just bog us down, to get us down, and we get into a deep depression, not realizing what we have in Christ and what we can rejoice in, my brothers and sisters. And this choice helped him endure the sufferings of prison as well as his mistreatment at the hands of those evil preachers. And Paul's advice to the church in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8 was consistent with his attitude when Paul considered his words there, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Then finally, my brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Thinking optimistically and fighting against anxiety and discouragement is a means of calling upon God to guard our hearts and our minds, and therefore it is also means of persevering. No matter what we face, no matter that we face adversity, persecution, affliction, hardships or disaster, God's remarkable purpose for us so much better than it is not to be compared with this life suffering, says Paul. Beyond that is the wonderful news that we have the spiritual strength to endure trials when they strike our lives. So many folks have given up. They've thrown in the towel. So many just walking away from the spiritual battle that's going on. Paul says to us that we do not face life problems alone, but do so with the Holy Spirit through Christ in us. Remember that. And now we got joy. Finally, in addition to humility and optimism, Paul also taught that the mindset of joy is a great help in Christian perseverance. For one thing, Paul himself concentrated on finding joy in order to persevere through his distressing circumstances. And by his example, he encouraged the believers in Philippi to do so as well. Paul spoke in Philippians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Paul spoke of his joy in this way. What then, notwithstanding? He talked about that. We got that in verse 8. He talked about in these verses. He said, notwithstanding everywhere where in pretense or in truth Christ is preaching, I dare do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul legitimately feared that he might be put to death, and yet rather than focusing on the negative aspect of his death, he focused on the positive outcome his death might bring. He was optimistic, and as a result, he was able to rejoice. Notice that in this case, Paul's joy was not a naive denial of pain and suffering, or even as overwhelming emotion of happiness. I wish preachers and teachers would be realistic with church, with saints in the body of Christ, instead of giving them this painted picture that every day is going to be a day of just happiness, and you're going to receive joy every day. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to go through heartaches and trials in life. That's the picture that some of these preachers and teachers paint for a lot of saints. And a lot of them buy right into it. So when that trial come along in their lives, or the other difficult circumstances come in their life, they don't know how to deal with it. My brothers and sisters, there was much sadness and suffering mixed into Paul's feelings as well. But despite his troubles, Paul truly was able to look at the good things in life and to rejoice over them. Can you do that tonight? Paul did not feel only joy, but he did feel true joy. And this joy provided him with a desire to press onward and gave purpose for his suffering. My brothers and sisters, rejoice in Christ Jesus. We do not rejoice in ourselves, and we do not rely on our own strength, for we are feeble, and at times unfaithful. This is true not only regarding salvation and our being made right in God's sight, justification, but it's also true concerning the Christian life, practical sanctification, the life a person lives after he or she trusts Jesus Christ alone as his or her personal Savior. Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Paul encouraged the Philippians to be joyful, because the Lord was near, whether as their help in time of need. Joy would motivate and enable the Philippians to fend off anxiety and therefore prepare them to persevere until the Lord's return. By patterning our mindset after Paul, by focusing on humility and optimism and joy, we can strengthen ourselves against anxiety and despair. Many are dealing with anxiety tonight. Many are in despair. Many are going through some situations tonight. Sometimes we can see a smile on people's face, but we just don't know what they're going through. they are going through some tough situations in their lives. We need to temper our sufferings with a humble spirit and to remain hopeful by thinking about the spiritual blessings. And we need to overcome the troubles of our condition by making a conscious decision to rejoice over those things in our life that are still worthy of joy. Because we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. One of these days, we're going to get ourselves a glorified body. My brothers and sisters, one of these days, we're going to live forever with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. That's something to rejoice in right now, my brothers and sisters. We should have joy and peace within because there are fruits of the Holy Spirit living within us. Galatians 5:22. So Paul can tell the church, just like Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now this ministry of perseverance, my brothers and sisters, now that we have explored the nature and the mindset of perseverance, we are ready to turn to the third, the church ministry of perseverance, expressed through our actions towards one another. Paul recognized that the Philippian ministry to him had helped him to persevere at many stages of his ministry. My brothers and sisters, that's what we have to be to each other. We have to be a godly companionship and friendship to one another. We have to have one another. We need one another. We need each other in times of heartaches and pains. We need each other when we need to be comforted. We need words of encouragement. We need each other when we just need someone to talk to. My brothers and sisters, there are multitudes of Christians throughout the world who have great material needs. Some are so poor that finding food and clothing is a constant challenge. Others are oppressed by evil people in the world. Some are even sold into slavery and severely abused. And of course, there are many other real but less dramatic material needs felt by Christians in every part of the world. And one way we can minister to these believers, one way we can give them hope and help them persevere is by meeting their material needs. As saints in the body of Christ, we also need encouragement to persevere. We can offer words of encouragement in church or over the telephone or through a letter or through a messenger and many other ways. But the point is that we should go out of our way to let people know that they are loved and that they are not forgotten. And beyond this, we can spend time with people in person, simply sitting by them, being with them, and helping them with their physical needs, just as the Philippians have Paul sent Epaphroditus to Paul. Even in the church, many people are lonely. Many need a friend. And many others need help with simple things like shopping and cleaning or caring for themselves and their families. Being physically present with believers is another good way to help them persevere because they look at you and how you trust in God and how you depend on God and how you never get rattled. You know, when folks see that you're persevering, guess what? Some folks look at that and they want to know, what is it? And you can share it with them. You can say, you know what? I believe it's going to be just like he said. I believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You can tell them that, you know what? I know that his grace is sufficient for all my needs. That's what you can tell them. That I'm to be careful for nothing. You can tell them, I don't worry because I'm totally independent. And fully trust and depend on my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we can also learn much from the way Paul ministered to the Philippians. And no matter who we are, where we are, we can always pray. so that God himself would give other believers strength to persevere and respond to our request. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians had many rich and wonderful truths to teach us about standing firm in our Christian faith and about living righteous before our holy God, even during times of suffering and distress. My brothers and sisters, and most important, as we succeed in our own perseverance by following Paul's advice, as we help others to persevere as well, we will bring glory and honor to our exalted Jesus Christ. Even in Paul's day, professing Christians refused to follow the grace doctrines that God had revealed to Paul. They preferred legalism, doing religious works to try and please God. And that's what many are trying to do today, when God had already demonstrated that they could do nothing to gain his favor. This is why he offered to them his grace as a free gift. My brothers and sisters, Paul concludes Philippians 3 with the following verses, "For our conversation is in heaven, from which we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." Our lives should be us allowing Jesus Christ to live his life in and through us as we walk by faith in an intelligent understanding of God's word to us, rightly divided. This is what our conversation is in heaven, means our lifestyle reflects the Bible's grace doctrine. But first we have to learn those doctrines, my brothers and sisters. We have to learn them. Let me say this. Colossians 3:4 says, "Christ, who is our life, although we have eternal life in Jesus Christ, right now these bodies of flesh and blood are fallen and cannot adequately reflect that glory." Look at yourself, like I say, I always tell folks. Look at yourself tonight. And look at yourself 40 years ago. I guarantee you can see a difference, can't you? Huh? We going back to the dust. Huh? We getting our steps getting a little slower. Eyes getting a little dimmer. My brothers and sisters, only God really knows that life in its full capacity. Only God knows what eternal life is in heaven is like. What little we know about is now we see through the eyes of faith, what we read in his word. Physically, that life in heaven cannot be seen yet. When we receive our glorified bodies at the rapture, our resurrection, the redemption of our bodies, those new bodies will better reflect God's life in us. But we can see it by what? Faith, because we walk by what? Faith, and not by what? Sight. As Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." It is here at the rapture and onward, God would display his glory in us for all of creation to see. My brothers and sisters, Philippians 3:21 says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Jesus Christ will subdue all things unto himself in heaven. When we are installed in heavenly places, you can read about it in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, and Colossians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 provides additional information about this, our resurrection and eternal life in heaven. My brothers and sisters, we have a physical image of Adam now, a physical body that cannot adequately express the divine life and self of us in Christians that will change when we are glorified at the event we call the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. The Bible calls the redemption of our bodies. My brothers and sisters, the power by which he will accomplish our physical restoration and the power by which he will subdue the governments of heaven and earth is that power which raised him from the dead. my brothers and sisters. Not only that, but the resurrection power of Jesus Christ also resides in us today so that our lives can be the life of Christ. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I think sometimes we need to take time out and read scripture and then look at the verse. And that's what I think. Sometimes folks just read the verses and they don't really look at what that verse is saying, what God, that's God speaking to us. God said, I have not given you the spirit of fear. He said, but I've given you a spirit of what? Power, of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. We have often heard the expression, timid Timothy. But have you ever wondered why he was timid? The Bible explained how a mature Christian is to think during difficult times. The spirit of power. This is God's power, not our power. And he, Jesus Christ, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Always be conscious of God's power given you in Christ. Lest your troubles cause you to doubt his word to you. Then the spirit of love. This is God's great love for us, not our weak love for him. We say we love God, but sometimes we sure don't act like it. We say we love God and we love others, but sometimes we sure don't act like it. Spirit of love. For the love of Christ constraineth us. 2 Corinthians 5:4. Jesus Christ's immeasurable love for us demonstrated at Calvary compels us always to be conscious of God's love for you in Christ. Otherwise, your dire circumstance will cause you to believe that God does not love you. God's love for you is further discussed, my brothers and sisters. Read Romans 8:35-39, my brothers and sisters. Now, the spirit of a sound mind, this is God's mentality in troubling times, not the world's wisdom. While God does not cause our troubles, we can let him use them to our advantage and for his glory. Romans 5:3-5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh what? Patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Always be conscious of how God has given you his mind in Christ in the form of the Holy Bible. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a power of love and of a sound mind. My brothers and sisters, remember, the spirit of fear has had gripped Timothy. He was beginning to lose the boldness that is required in the Christian ministry, and that's what's happening to a lot of folks. They begin to lose their boldness. A lot of folks begin to look at circumstances in the world. They're looking at what's going on around them, what you see happening in the world, and they begin to lose their focus. The Christian must be mindful to have the mentality that God would want him or her to have during troubled times. My brothers and sisters, how would a mature Christian handle troubles? Firstly, spiritual maturity only comes by personal Bible study. We study God's word, believe it, and let it transform our minds. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your what? Mind. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:23. The same spirit found in today's scripture. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. My brothers and sisters, God the Holy Spirit informed us how our adversary, the devil, operates. But let us look at the companion passage for additional insight. Before he wrote today's scripture, my brothers and sisters, let me say this. Paul reminded young Timothy about how he had ordained him in the ministry. and Timothy received a very important ministry, but Satan was using Timothy's difficult circumstances to discourage him. And he'll do the same for you and I if we allow him to distract him from the ministry from God. Beloved, Satan still attempts to do this with us, so it is imperative we understand and apply today's scriptures by faith. My brothers and sisters, as we close tonight, Paul, if ever Timothy needs to remember his identity in Jesus Christ, it is now. And that's the same to you and I. The Holy Spirit, right through Paul, is preparing Timothy, as well as us, to handle the impending death. He was telling of his good friend, talking to Timothy, increasing doctrine errors within the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, needs Timothy to be strong. That's what Paul was encouraging him, just as well as you and I, to remain faithful to the message of God's grace and to pass it on to faithful men who would teach others. To endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he needs not abandon God's people when they need godly, mature leadership. We need leaders today. We need teachers and preachers that's going to stand. No matter what Satan throw at us, no matter how he try to discourage us, we need godly preachers, teachers that's going to stand and weather the storm and persevere in this sin-cursed world, in this evil world. We need strong, godly men. The apostasy that is already occurring in the world today, we have to persevere. And for you listening tonight, I encourage you to persevere. Don't get sidetracked with what the world is doing. Don't give in to the world. Don't conform to the world. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And when you follow one of those tracks, guess what? I guarantee you, you're going to end up walking around functionally dead. So persevere, my brothers and sisters. We thank God for this word. We thank him for this time. And next week, we're going to get into our next lesson. We're going to deal with sin and salvation in Genesis. And then we're going to start talking about that talking snake that a lot of folks claim. We got a talking snake in Genesis. We're going to be discussing that next week. Sin and salvation in Genesis 3. Then we're going to talk about this talking snake. That's why Paul said, well, not only should we pray with understanding, we should sing with understanding, but we should also teach with understanding. The only way to get understanding and how to understand God's word is to study God's word, God's way. And then you got to study diligently. Thank you for this time. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray as those who listen in, that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened, and that they were edified as we studied together God's word right divided. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.